This morning I'm turning to the book, of gospel, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Sorry, Matthew chapter 5, sorry. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This morning I want us to think about a possession for the poor in spirit. This chapter contains the popular sermon we call the Sermon on the Mount by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I'm sure students of the Bible know about this. And the Lord Jesus Christ says so many things, and each one of them very great things to consider. So this morning we'll consider verse 3, these precious words. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The air can stand up in the beginning being served, Katra, before Yes Christo Kai. Now, and somewhere, okay, people also, or typical, a sermon on the mount, or ma, or church, or people so out, now, so I can't send the preacher in Singapore. Now, I bring up this year, I get it to my year, that's the woman who said, Japade and I say I did I you see, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I say, Omoa, Eshani, Omoa, Omakuma, Muebugu, and also Oma Bromas, Omakumi, Wemune, Wemuna, Estro, and Hindi, Ayo, Omodia. The kingdom of heaven, I'm sure, on this earth, except you have never been to a church or you have never known anything about the Bible, the whole thing is how I can get to heaven. Or the whole thing is how I can have heaven. The American said, I'm so we are or what I drink a crowd by boom and ask what car sorry pain and I said, we think I'm a same crap pain no be sure said you say you say you bet to me who heaven a quiet and ask you bring your heaven. Now you to me heaven I idea. And yeah, and in it I be idea and more we are either so far sorry and ask what I mean a decay. And of course that for brain so I will put that be wrong with us or any idea, but I need any new witness. The hearing is said, between that or swat him. And these words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ set out the condition or the group of people or the set of people that can benefit from heaven or can have heaven as their possession. And also, it set out those who benefit from the great work of our dear Savior as prophet, priest, and king. You know that Jesus Christ came to this world and he came to do a work for a people. And his work includes he being a prophet, he being a priest, and he being a king unto them. How did he become our prophet? You know, the Old Testament prophet, that's what? They sacrifice for the people, they offer before the people, before God for the people. Christ did not offer animals as the Old Testament prophet did. He offered himself on the cross of Calvary. And as a prophet, he came to teach us. I mean, his teachings were the greatest of all that the prophet ever taught. Was all that they taught in the Old Testament were about him. So he came to give light on many things that the prophet taught that were not clear. And in the OS, he said in John chapter 14, verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And his teachings. And as a prophet, he guides his people with knowledge and understanding of the word of God to salvation. And also, after salvation, guides them with his word and teaches them. So, as a prophet, that's what he's there for. And as a priest, he sacrificed himself. And as a king, those that he saves, he rules them with his word. And his spirit, and that he guides them even on this earth, how they will be able to please God and live for him. And also, when the final kingdom comes, he will be a king over all the church of God who are faithfully saved to that kingdom. So, this work I was aware that he came to do. And it has this straightforward, the prophet, priest, and king. The air can see Jesus Christ. And some of our kinds say, Israeli or more Makum and that's all Abram Fasuwal, Omu Akumemulu. I almost have a foina and swan Hindi or Modiano. Or Kaweno or the Cha Nipa Ekua, the Juma of Bayer was, I see to say, or yeah, Commissioni, or yeah, or Sofo, Sansu Yorkino. It's not on my own. Omona, Omo Benya, Sah, Jumasu Faso, if we said, Omon is uncle foina. Omo betumi enya aso faso na me chire mu se oye obeye komshe ni sifise ono na obetire yakukun asem a komshe ko atwem ko nya no semu o mo kan nya no di die na oba ni mu odu kwa bi semu o makan ko a le ni nda ho no obeka ma ni da ho Moses ni mra so ana wa kana na ngofo no o mu tia se wa pa no obe ma obetire ni da ho yi no san so be chire mu kina. In our Sansu, a year will be a church, the big young couple of wine, the young Padia, or no better, but yes, so clear. Or to make us on only prayer, or no sooner, yet I'm so between who is general. Or no pen or between a chest, a quiet. No, I said, or by said, Commissionino, a sophomore or a priest in Insulo. I said, no, not a sophomore, the only answer, for forever airborne in our bar. I'm over on the edge, I'm born with your barber sacrifice. No, I'm one of my own. I'm for the which I don't know much in a moment. You have a phone at your margin. And you know, no, they want to walk or no, I didn't home. Am I? I didn't home my car, I didn't cover for who am I? I didn't host the ball. And now, as kings are your hand in Sono, say, or didn't you park and quack? Or the next time in the Hong Kong. A church from oh how much we ask last that is so I see a good point in Yam. No, no, I'm so about mobile open bra and a Hindi and a bar from a sample of four pine or my committee. Sir, Nipaku, I bet you mean yes, sir, if you my dear sir, or yeah, commissioning, or your sofa, or your hair, a sofa swallow. Sandy Penny or more about Kumu, why they will do our Kumu, Munomu, who said, Omuni, Omuni, Papa. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ himself said that in Luke chapter 4 verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And some panua abeka was I was overcome my hair for. You should hear for no, the Almighty Angasa. Because he has sent me to heal the broken heart. And to preach deliverance to the captives. And recovery of sight to the blind. Oh my, I'm asking them. Oh, to me, I say, ah, I'm going to need the deal. And to set at liberty them that abuse. Oh my, I'm membrane. Oh, mom say, oh, mom, I'm membrane. So, and so, mom, yeah, I'm going to need quite a number. So, I give them a few. Time for go away. Say, this is to say, oh, Baba, can say, banish them. Because some plan about to be a woman. Yeah, but who the officer to be a woman. Yeah. And I'm standing panel. Or back preaching or back as a virtue of Omani for somewhere there. Only here for. They are poor. So, who are the poor that the Lord Jesus Christ referred to here? Because our text does not say that just poor. It says the poor in spirit. Yeah, in verse 1, I have a no. I can say, here, Nikke, or say, here, Nia, or what, or Bubu, and I say, or Nakume Muno, or what for grass here. And yet, here, Nibia, poor in spirit. Obia and Nakume Muno, and I say, who said, so it is not just every poor person, whether deprived materially, intellectually, or health wise. So, we have a so, if you ask me, I'm going to be here, this is to Baba, and I'm going to say, I'm going to be here. My home in yet intermediate, we hear you all, a pastor, a good deal more. And you know, maybe you'll be a big hero, young boy. Yes, I guess there are many, may hear you are. Many we are saying your mind, I used to work as a yes, I'm going for no car. And so the poor in the world, like being deprived of possessions or liberty in this world. No, that is not all to be intelligent in this world. Not, it's not talking about, it's not about those people. Because I saw more among a year for a woman who said, Because it's not the poor, the worldly poor, the materially poor, because many who are poor in this world are also proud in spirit. And there are many also who are also rich, but they are also poor in spirit. So it's cut across. There could be poor who are poor in spirit. There could be rich who are rich in spirit. They kind of said, if the orca said, a for a war, So he's not talking about material poor. We are only needy keke. Because many people put it in their mind that it's true. But when it comes to salvation, when we talk of poverty, it's not about any physical things we can see. It's about spiritual things. Because let's also remember that even the Lord Jesus Christ, his disciples were a mixture of the rich and the poor. You can see Peter, you can see Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a rich man who became Christ's disciple. Peter was a poor fisherman. See, they were all mixed up. So it's not about, and I'm sure two of them were there when Christ was delivering this message to them. So it's not about the materially poor, it's those who are poor in their heart, in their souls, who are deprived, as Christ said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. It's about hearing the word of God, it's about how the word of God is profitable to this, the brokenhearted, the captive in sin, the brokenhearted, the one who's have seen that life is empty and is so helpless and restless, and who is disappointed by placing his hopes on the things on earth. The captive, the one who has been so dominated by his sin, he doesn't see any way of deliverance. There are those, and he wants a way that God will help him to come out of the sin. Such are those that are poor, and who are the recoverer of sight to the blind. Those ones, they are struggling to know the word of, they are struggling to know the way of God. They are those who are the poor in spirit, and those that are good, those who have realized that the laws of God are true and just, and yet they have seen their own way of transgressing the law of God, and yet here they are, they don't know how. It has put a burden upon them, their guilt are heavy. Christ comes to put the gospel, tell them that there is a way of a way of relief, which is in him, to believe on him, that he came to die on the cross of Calvary, that he died for every sin. All those who come and believe in him, he died for them. Sir, you call them, sir. Yangupong, Emperor, Obusu, Aujumi, Hokia, Phil Guashanima, and after who said, Yamias and Rokoso, yes, on Tiasu, Wayao, the Yamias and the Yakupong, Nakumu, no, who said, Oni and Ejibia, who say, yes, you want to be any money in the end, so for whom is for breaking who is so the womb of Calvary, and not for the rest anymore. Wow, only any day, no winning any day. And you are saying the other morning, wow, also one year short, so no, when you are with you. Now, wow, so are Yamias and Montias here. But what you may be waiting Yamias and was, you know, Yakuwa Paya, then more also, and Yakuwa. So, these are those Christ that he came to preach to the poor, those who are in need of spiritual, the grace of God, to know how they will please God, they will know how to live for God. So, as we continue, to be poor in spirit is to be sensible of deficiency in your morality. So, but we say, we ask you, cry, and we say, Papaya, I'm a yellow. Yami, I'm a tussin. We have a trust in my papa, still, Yami, I'm a tussin. And also, your emptiness is spirituality. That is, when we say, in your own thing, Yami, I see. No, who tries to obey Yami, I see. You are still empty. You cannot relate to him. You don't know him. No, you pray, but you don't even know God as your God. Yes, you go to prayer, you pray, but you don't know him as your God. So if you are And also a desperation in your soul for which you desire relief. Sir, we should say, Wangasa Kramono, we hear or Jebby. Ah, and the Amawa Brown wants to say, oh, you shame me. But so, what did you ask my super? So, we know Jebby won him. And only Obia Castle for your points when I come and move. Ah, Obia on dinner. Of a sort of saying, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, and such a state is opposed to the one who is proud in himself and his accomplishment. Stand in front, who said, on some part of your name, ah, on the said, there are two of you asking him, who said, if in the papa to me, and in your way, you'll be asking me, still your name or to see, ah, or soon your name, a baby man, now sign to me, ah, a demon, a demon. Sir, a sumo, a dinner, and this, ah, will be, I said, or not, didn't put it. Or you be on or didn't put it by name and you're more to me, you know, or a proud wolf, Sandy Pano, and this side is too a book. Obia and Akuma, you know, ah, I mean, of you said, or your papa is in a million grand or you be on your body, papa. Remember in the book of Revelation, Apostle John told us about the angel told Apostle John that. The Laodiceans, their faith was like, he says that in chapter 3, verse 17, he says that, because thou sayest that I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, and naked. This church, though they were a church, but I think many of them in this church were materially rich. And I mean, the church was also, progressing. I mean, physically. So they thought they were okay. So they have increasing goods. They said they are what? They need nothing. But spiritually, they were wretched and poor before God. They couldn't humble themselves before God. They didn't have that humility to see themselves as below what God requires of them. Whereby they would trust in Christ more. They were becoming weak, and they were becoming complacent, as if. They are better. See that you have increased in goods. You thought you are able to physically in people's eyes you're able to do good things and in people's eyes you're able to they honor you, but in your heart before God you are poor. That's what he's trying to say. So such is the state that people can be physically even when it comes to worship and religion. Different Ebrewa, Baba sorry, oh, so oh yeah, no man, Baba cast one year near the instrument of Kumemuno. On bread and water, Nakumemuno, Ahomas Washaho, or Jin Hudi, or Fusan, and Yoma, every cry, a sorry be a sick of them, a sorry cry, and it's no Yobi. And such things are a proud spirit, and it doesn't depict anyone as the one who is poor in the spirit. So it's to oppose a person who loves the praise of men. And in such people, the Lord Jesus Christ condemned them in chapter 6 of our. Good chapter 6, verse 1 and verse 6. The Lord Jesus Christ told us about this people. He told them how people who do a show off, even when they are doing kindness, are so proud in their hearts. He said in verse 6, chapter 6, verse 1, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. And verse 6, he says that some also. He said, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. You see, he said, even in matters of religion, a sumu krano, nipa, etra, ibimu, if we said, the omu ye, nana, emu omu ye, ubi, e on yanku kweni. Ebimu, eye papa, omu se, nana, emu yanku, omu so, jomu, tu. Ebimu, so, somebody. These things are opposed to the person who is poor in spirit. So Christ even warned in this Sermon on the Mount that it's not the show, outward show of what we do. It's what we have in our, the humility is shown in our heart. When we will submit to the law of God, the will of God, it's in the heart. So the pride and the self-confidence person is a hindrance to salvation. And yet you see in this world, what kind of people do the world praise? Those who are proud, and those who are boastful, who can talk big, and those who can demonstrate the things they can do. in any every part of our life, at the workplace, in the community. Is that also? They praise people who can show off their talent, who can show off what they have. I mean, sometimes I read some of the news. Nowadays, Ghanaian rich people will be showing off their kind of vehicles they have, and people will be writing about them. You see, it used to be, we used to read of them from the US and other, but now the Ghanaians have been doing that. So people think that when they show off what they have, and they will say, God has blessed me with this thing. It's out of what? Pride to show off. So you see, when anyone is self-confident on himself, in what he can do, whether it's not even about just material things, even anything in this world, he's confident in himself that he can do whatever he can do. And he feels proud about it. It's a great thing that the person will take the same thing when it comes to salvation, so he will not see himself as totally poor, totally in need of mercy. He wouldn't do that. But anyway, to be proud is hypocrisy, because we have nothing of ourselves. Our lives are not our own. All that we are able to do in this world, if God has not granted us life and the support of life, we can't do it. So you see that if anyone is proud in himself, and he is proud about what he can do, and he's not humble in his spirit, it's hypocrisy, because it isn't the reality of who we are. We are a needy people. And no matter how high we are, if you can, at the time when the COVID came, you see how both the poor and the rich were all running for their lives. None can save themselves even with fiscal debt. You see, we are all nothing. We have nothing, except God himself give us mercy. So now, to be poor in spirit, to have a humble view of ourselves, is a gracious thing. See, if because it is both profitable for the believer and unbeliever, even believers. Believers can become somehow proud in spirit. They will become so proud about their gifts. Remember in the Corinthians, they were abusing, some were thinking that their gifts were better than others, and they were so proud about it. But you know, and it happens in churches. I mean, somebody might think, oh, for me, I'm the preacher, so I'm the boss. No. So to be proud in spirit can affect even a believer. When he becomes complacent, his life becomes less dependent on Christ and the mercy of Christ, and it's more of the knowledge he has had. Some people also, when they become more knowledgeable in the scripture, they become proud. It's not about how the knowledge will transform their life, but how rather they will teach others and be boastful about it. So you see that to be humble in spirit, to be poor in spirit, is even profitable. It's greatly profitable to the believer. But this one, we are considering the case of unbelievers. How it's so profitable? Because it gives us many advantages when we want to seek the Lord and know His way of salvation. So that as we are living, one day before we pass on, we all need to know the way of salvation and know that we have been brought and known God as our God. Our hearts have been changed, our sins have been forgiven us, and that Christ death on the cross has profited us. So the first reason why to be poor in spirit is profitable for unbelievers is because it is the poor who are willing and desperate for help. If you are not poor in need of something, you are not willing that somebody will help you. You don't care even when they are sharing free things. When the COVID came, those who have enough in their house, when people, the car come around and they are sharing water, you don't go out to pick, because at least you have some in your house. When you have things, you don't go after other things again. You are okay. So the poor in spirit is willing and desperate for help. So you see, Christ saying the poor in spirit have the kingdom of heaven is really true. The original Greek meaning of the word poor in the text means a beggar, a pauper. So you see, not just a poor person, but a poor person who is begging. So let's say the one on the street, begging, who has nothing. When she or he wakes up in the morning, he has nothing to eat unless people do kindness to him. Such is the person we can picture as Christ. The word used here is a pauper, or what? A beggar. The Eucharist said,
Because it will be If you say, word now, your choice for no, and as you knew how, that's the motion, be aware if you know, I just said, oh, you know, stress idea, you need any kicker. Well, you hear for if you hear for me, but you'll get a stress idea. But you need your stress ideas. For instance, if you look at blind Bartimaeus, he was sitting by the gates of Jericho, and the Lord Jesus Christ was passing. He was blind and a beggar. Many people were just reading Lord Jesus Christ, but when he heard of Lord Jesus Christ and he remembered, he cried out. He shouted. But he needed help. Many people didn't do as he did. He needed help. He was a blind person, a beggar. In Mark chapter 7, verse 4, look at what the Bible tells us. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. But he also was in need. He was a beggar. So he needed mercy. No, so though he needed physical change, but he said, have mercy on me. He didn't just say, open my eyes. Have mercy. Mercy. To have God's mercy is forgiveness of sin. So see, blind Bartimaeus did not just cry out that he would be relieved of his blindness. He knew himself to know Christ as the son of David and to call on him to help him. It's a picture of how we all need to cry out to the Lord when it comes to forgiveness of sin. So he said that, have mercy upon me. He was a blind beggar. Bartimaeus, not like Jericho, Obuano. Jesus Christ, no, came. Obuano, came. Jesus Christ, did even know she has so came. Yes, David, but we more. If they did not, or service, or you hear me, or hear me. That is the mercy we need to ask from the Lord. You also remember the one of the criminals who were crucified with Jesus Christ. You see, one was insulting Jesus Christ, and the other sensing his own guiltiness and the damnation he was about to perish on the cross for. Look at Luke 32, verse 42. He said that, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. These are simple words. And Lord Jesus Christ replied that, today you will be with me in paradise. This man, he's been punished for his sin. He's been a criminal. And he knew that dying at that stage, he's lost. So at that stage, what does he need from Christ? Salvation from sin. Forgiveness of sin. So that, Lord, remember me when that comes into thy kingdom. He asked for mercy. He cried out. It is only the poor that's what? Seek help. That are willing to be helped. So in matters of salvation, it is only those who need to see their own wretchedness that they will cry for mercy. But you see, the sad thing is that many of us don't sense their desperation for forgiveness before the Most Holy God. So when many people come in prayer to even pray to confess their sin, they are not serious because they think they are somehow not too bad. If you see your badness before God, you didn't come joking. As if a child will wake up from his bed and go and greet his parents. Good morning. Like a friend thing. No. Coming to ask for forgiveness of sin You, if you don't see yourself as either Bartimaeus, who was in need, who was blind and beggar, or this poor man who has been hung on the cross, who's about to expire, if you don't see your state as such, that if God do not give you the mercy, you should perish. If you don't see such, you will never be serious about your sin. So, whoever you put in your best job on the fashion, say, what is the matter? But Timmy, you are so young here, or such an idea, or two points here, or young ones, or young one, or whoever. And I said, if I know not, on your school, who said, I perform in a woman, a woman's in the medical school, but I will not, or the school, I tell. But I could hear who said, the boy, no sense, they rally, who call him in my time. If we said, on himself, so who bet? Ne bɔ ne nipa nisɔn ɔkɔ ɔmusan yi ɔfisi yankunpɔ enim no ɔnsɛn fata na mi ka sɛ nipa bebree deɛ ya anasa awɛbo no sɛ nipa bebree ehu beesi ma sɛ ɔmo fa yankunpɔ enim abɛsɛ bɔ ne fakyɛ a ehia sɛ ɔmo sɛ sɛ ɔmo enya bɔ ne fakyɛ no a ɛndi ɔmo ayira nti ɔsɔmo mia ɔmo ani na sɛ ɔmo ɛma ɔmo adwene ɛne ɔmo nyaa ti sɛ obi a yamma ne mboa wowu. Tell us about your own problem. You have your own problem. We are the boy, nobody. And yet, I said, "Obia, I cry. What's your feeling? Pass my friend, my friend, my friend. Good morning." That's how people do. Oh, oh Lord, please forgive me. I've done so. No, is that how a beggar begs? A beggar desires that to be answered. That Obia ain't hear me. So besides, if you are or person where they unya. I think that's the main view of what you are doing. Is that how you feel when you come to God to confess yourself? Until you are like a beggar, until you are poor in spirit, until you see your poverty, you can never truly confess your sins. You can never see how your sins are bad. Many don't realize the gulf that their sins have created between them and God. Sin has created a big gulf. God is the most holy God. We are little sinners. And how do you come to God just like somebody like who is chatting with a friend? No. When it comes to a sinner needing salvation, it's not a matter of you praying like and talking to a friend. It's a serious business. And God knows those who are serious. God knows it. That's why many are not saved. Many who complain. Many cannot say that, yes, I cannot see that I'm saved. Because when it comes to matters of money, you are more serious. Can when it comes to confession of sin. Many are very serious. Let somebody try to dupe them of their money. See how or their possession, see how they become so mad. And yet, sin has robbed many. And yet many are careless because we don't feel our sinfulness. We have to. And it is in that state that we shall be helped. So many don't see how that great wealth has been created. So they are not earnest in repentance. Sin to them is enlightened. It's something is trivial. Friend, unless you have a humble view of yourself as a sinner without hope, you are not capable of receiving help from God. You see, if we need to repent of sin, God has to give us. God, we never desire to repent. There are many things in our life that it helps us. Look at somebody who has lived a liar and helps him some advantage. How can such a person see that? I have to, yes, you know, a lying is sin. How would that person see the need that they should repent of that and take them? No, only God helps us. That's just an example. There are many things. Maybe somebody also have other form of sin that he does or she does, and somehow give him happiness or something. How can that person from himself say that, God, I don't want anything? No, unless we pray that God indeed should help us. Else we shall never see our need before Him. When anyone is full of himself, God's grace have no place in your heart. You can never receive it. And that's what God, Christ's commission to this world is not for you. Say that it's for the poor. The kingdom of God is for the poor. In Matthew 17, Lord Jesus Christ told us, He told about proud sinners. He said that they that are poor have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call righteous but sinners to repent. Even to repent of sin, Christ is calling only those who see their need. He's not calling those who think that they are not too bad. At least they can make some amends in their life. Yes, Christ, if you know what I bet you must have my dream. Or so bad over from sin is sickness of the soul. This man, when I'm listening to one day, who said, sin is a sickness of the soul. But because ego is not physical to us, many of us don't see. And it's only Christ's blood that can wipe away, can heal the sickness of our sins in our souls. Christ, and if you don't come to him, he's a doctor. He said he came to call what? Not the righteous, but for those who are sick. Sick of their sin. If you are sick of some drug, the sick person cannot even eat. He cannot do the thing. It's desperate of life. That's how we come. So the second reason why to be poor in spirit is profitable is because it is a beggar that truly values the preciousness of a gift. Yes, everybody desires gifts, but you give a small gift to a beggar, he values it. So that is how it is. To be poor in spirit, as a beggar, it makes you a beggar. So you value gift. You see, because the beggar always depends on the kindness of people. And he desires, and he always values it. You, for instance, if, let's say, some of us, if somebody should give you maybe five cities, well, okay, but it's nothing to me. I'll go to the roads and give that 5 cents to somebody who is sitting under the sun. He'll praise you and even he'll bow down before you. He values, his gifts are precious to those who are really beggars. So it is the same way, unless you are a beggar for right standing with God. You are begging God so that you have right standing with you, know him. Until you see that you are without any goods, that will prove you before God. That yet before the eyes of men, you could be a good person, you could be the nicest person, but that when you come before God, you see that, oh no, these things cannot be approved before God. Until you see yourself such as such, God's free gifts of salvation in Christ will never be precious to you. Salvation will never be precious. Because salvation is a gift that God gives to us in Ephesians 2:8. It says that for by grace I receive through faith. It is not ourselves, it is a gift of God. And how can you have a desire to receive this gift of salvation while you are full of yourself? No, you cannot. So see, salvation is for those who have seen their standard with God is poor. Whether they are rich, whether they are poor, whether they are religious or not, but they see that before God, I have nothing. And I only receive what he gives to me through Christ, who died on the cross of Calvary, for my sin, who died so that God will look upon him and forgive my sin. So I go to him upon what Christ has done. Until you recognize that without eternal life, you are doomed for eternal fire. When you sit down and consider your sin, if my sins are not forgiving me, I am doomed. There's nothing for me. I will never have eternal life. I will live in eternal fire forever. And this will move you. They say, yes, while I have breath, I have to seek. For that food to last forever, which is eternal life. Then at the day of judgment, if I am without Christ's righteousness, I should be doomed. This will move me. This will let me, even if I don't feel my sinfulness, if there's some things that I like, that it's hard for me to stop, I bring them before the Lord. And he will give me a sense of my own helplessness. And I'll give up. He will help me. And the Christ is able to deliver all who can come to him and confess their sins before him. And that they will delight to be reconciled to God. You see, again, until we weigh the consequence of sin, if we know the law of God and the demands that it makes, we will never play with sin. You will always be beggars at the door of mercy. You will always come crying until God has really, like blind Bartimaeus. You see, immediately when he began to cry, the people told him, oh, they should keep quiet. And he shouted again. And they kept him. So he shouted till Christ heard him. If he was not serious, the first shout, the people shouted, quiet. That's how many people do that. Sometimes people are alarmed with their sin. They see that their sin is sometimes causing them trouble. They try to put a religion, maybe they'll be praying, they'll read the Bible. But small time that feeling is gone. And then they go back to their sin again. They don't care to continue. Blind Bartimaeus was not like that. He was determined that Christ will hear him. So, if you have not found salvation, are you determined that God will hear you? Are you determined that you will continue to be serious about your sin, that one day God will listen to your cry and say, yes, he's suffering. He has humbled himself. Let him come, then I'll save him. You see, all people don't think this way because many people think of the bigger sins, the great sins. Murder, I'm not murdering. Stealing, I'm not stealing. Fornication, I'm not fornicating. Drunkenness, I don't drink. Foul language, maybe I speak nicely. I've been taught how to speak well, please, please, and all that. So, I'm better. People think of the big sins. And by that, they excuse themselves of hidden sins of lust, lying, envy, hatred, grief, selfishness. People forget that these things are the same things. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, the Bible tells us the sins that will doom people. Let's look at it. It says that, but the fearful, those fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The most important and interesting thing is the liars and also the fearful. I am afraid that if I cut off from my sinful life, I might not survive. I must lose profits. I might lose my family. I must lose my friends. So, the gospel of Christ calling me to repent, I put it at the back corner. I'm afraid that if I become serious about religion, people will make a mockery of me. So, I put aside my desire for salvation. I'm afraid that maybe if I begin to seek after God, I must fail because there's so much sin that I cannot break away from sin. I will not be successful. These people who don't want to try and come, but they are feared. As if it's good, it's not a good thing. It will turn them to damnation. And also liars. I'm sure all of us have lied before. So if we have lied before, we all need the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Lies are common thing. From babies lie. From infancy, we have been lying and lying and lying. So where do we stand if we don't see our need of salvation? So both murderers and liars, if they do not repent and believe in Jesus Christ and his mercy, which he preaches for us by shedding his blood on the cross of Calvary, they must perish at the day of judgment. The liar and the murderer. See, we say, oh, I just lied. Just somebody kill somebody. Both must be in the hellfire. You see how sin before God is different from how we perceive sin. In this world, in the radio, you see radio, all the bad things they speak about the corruption of the politicians, or maybe the corruption of a road contractor, how to construct the road well. And yet, all are envious, all are hateful, all are liars, selfishness and greed is in every heart. And yet, people will complain about the politicians. No, we are all sinners like them. We have not gotten the opportunity to go there. But if God changes our hearts, if we have been born again, if we have enjoyed salvation, if we have known that Christ has died for us and that we are empty, whether we have done a bigger sin or a lesser sin, yes, we see our emptiness before God. We see how we are poor in spirit and how we humble ourselves before Him. You know that even Ahab, with all his godlessness, when he even humbled himself a little, God pardoned some of his sins for that particular reason. When Ahab heard Elijah pronouncing a judgment, the Bible said that he humbled himself before God, and when God saw it, he even pardoned him. You see, when we come before God, no matter how we are, to be able to really see ourselves that we are nothing before Him, it's a profitable thing. It's a great thing. It helps us so that we shall have forgiveness from Him. So it's the salvation in Christ is precious only to the needy sinner. 1 Peter 2:7, we are told, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Those who believe in Christ, Christ is precious. Those who see their need of him, he is precious. But those who doesn't, who hear about the gospel 10,000 times every Lord's day, it will do nothing to them. It's like, maybe, as they say, you give maybe a cake to a goat. What does it? He doesn't, cake is precious too. I would like to eat cake, but the goat doesn't cake. He will just trample upon it. That's how we do. So my question to you is that, is the sacrificial death of Christ for sinners precious to you? If it's precious to you, then you are praying. If you are, even if you have not been saved, you are. It's a big desire on your heart. You are always praying that God will save you. It's a something that you can never take up yourself away from. Or if it's a precious thing to you, then you always beg that God should, through His sacrifice, forgive yourself. That should be your hope. You see, there are many churches who teach that, oh yes, the grace of Christ and your goodness, the righteousness of Christ and the righteousness of human beings. How can they see the preciousness of Jesus Christ if little of Christ and little of me? No! I am somebody. I can add much to what Christ has done. Then how can Christ be precious to me? No! The blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I come to my conclusion, and I will look at the last part of the verse, and I'm done. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ actually has a promise for those who are poor in spirit. He said, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Theirs, their Lord is eternal happiness, which God has reserved for them who fear Him, which God will give the right to all those who have repented of sin and have put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, whom He has saved among all the people of this world, who allow access to His heaven. Say, those are those who are poor in spirit. They have. It's their possession. People desire to have possession in this world, to build a house, to have some property. No. If you have nothing, and you are poor in spirit, you come to Christ and you are saved, you have heaven. Heaven is yours. All the glories of heaven. We don't know, in fact, I said that we don't know when Christ appears, we don't know how we shall be, but we shall be like Him. Christ will be our brother, He will be our father, He will be our friend, we will live forever. This is for those who are poor in spirit, who have come to seek mercy, who are begging for forgiveness of their sins, who have seen that before God, their righteousness counts as nothing. They are poor in spirit. And not only that, it's the poor in spirit that Jesus will save from sin. Those that will confess their sins and wretchedness will forgive their sins and give them a new heart to love and to know Him. You see, do you want to know God? Do you want to love Him? And sometimes you hear the word of God, it's hard to obey. No. Unless your heart is changed, unless Christ has washed you from sin and God has given you a new heart, you can never be obedient to God. You can never. You obey some things that are convenient for you, others you leave it. But if you come, so let all come to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If we don't have this poorness in our spirit, if we don't see our poverty, cry to Him, He will let you see. Cry, Lord, I've heard that the poor in spirit that can have salvation. I don't have it. Yes, I see my sins, but there are some other sins that I can't break away from. Come to Him. He's able to help. You see, He was sent to come to bring what? Liberty to captives, those who have been captivated by their sin. We are all, before salvation, we're captivated by one sin or the other. But in mercy, Christ in mercy has saved us. Now we can say that no sin will have dominion over us. It's not because of ourselves, because of the grace of God that has been given. So, that is my message. To be poor in spirit, not only that we shall be saved, there's heaven for us. And Christ, our brother, senior brother, who came to preach to us the way of heaven, the way of salvation, is waiting for us there. So that's why when believers die, though we are sorrowful, it's a joyful thing, because they are going to be with Him. They are lost in this world in trouble, even if they are rich, sicknesses, troubles of life, disappointment. But with heaven, with Christ in heaven. In heaven, there's no trouble there. Let me read for you, then I'll be done. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 25, John gave us a vision of heaven. Revelation chapter 21, it says that, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be with His people, and God Himself shall be with them, and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away, and He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. This world will change. For And it will be for those who are poor in spirit. Theirs, that is their possession. And may the Lord help each one of us to see our sinfulness, to see our need of repentance. People have repented, but they have not really been repented. So they feel they have something. May we go to the Lord, and He will help us, since He has promised that whoever comes to Him, He will never cast him out. May the Lord help us as we think about these things. Let's